your love is just forever. You are good all the time. You are good.
Tonight, amen, and we are so honored to have our guests that are with us. We thank you for coming. We welcome you to Mount Pisgah. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. I like what I feel in here. This will be a good night for somebody to get the Holy Ghost. This will be a good night for somebody to get delivered. This will be a good night for somebody to get set free. Anybody want to be set free? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Could our prayer teams come, please? We want to go to the Lord in prayer as they are coming. We want to pray for Gene and Steve Mulvaney. Was in a bad car accident. Is in the USA hospital in Mobile. We want to pray for the family of Stanley and Sonny Smith. Mr. Stanley passed away, and this is the granddad of Madison and Macy Smith. The service will be tomorrow at 10 a.m. at Faith Presbyterian Church in Leakesville. Amen. We want to continue praying for Sister Box. Amen. Good to see her tonight. Amen. We want to continue lifting her up. Amen. Let's pray for Azzy Gray. We'll be having had operation this morning. Amen. Let's pray for Holly Parker for healing. Joe Kathleen McLeod, cancer, put on hospice. Amen. Let's pray for, continue praying for Sister Judy McLeod. Let's continue praying for Sister Jeanette Thomas. Let's pray for Brother John and Sister Delisa while they are traveling. Sister Delisa's nephew was killed in a car accident. And let's pray that God will be with them. Amen. Well, when we pray, if you need prayer for your body or you have a need in your life, just step up and let one of these three prayer teams anoint you with oil and pray for you. And the scripture says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Amen. Let's pray together tonight. Dear Jesus, oh, hallelujah. We're so thankful that we can come. We're so thankful, God, that we can bring our needs to you. Oh, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, these dear people that are sick, these dear people that have family members that have passed away, we're praying for these families. We're praying that you would comfort them. We're praying that you would strengthen them in the name of Jesus. We are believing you now. These are people that are at home, that are recovering from surgery, that have had surgery, whatever the case is, whatever the situation is. We're praying that you would minister. We're praying that you would heal them. We're praying that you would touch them. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody reach out to him right now. Somebody just reach out to him right now in faith. Is going to heal you. God will touch you. God will minister to you in a mighty way.
Jesus.
so I owe all to you. I owe all to you, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah. Let us clap our hands all over this sanctuary. On this Sunday night, there should be a celebration. Oh, let a celebration arise from our soul. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Can we clap our hands a little more? Can we lift our voice? Oh, from one side to the other, from the front to the back. Let us worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Has He ever healed your body? Has He ever washed your sins away? Oh, somebody ought to say yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. We want to give a very special welcome to all of our guests tonight. And we are so thankful. Go ahead, you can clap your hands. We are so thankful to have with us tonight Brother Mark Harrelson from West Monroe, starting a church there. And Brother Harrelson, why don't you just stand? All right. And we are so thankful that you all are here. Brother, I wasn't able to finish what I was going to say, but why don't you say something for the Lord right quick? Oh, West Mobile, I'm sorry. Okay. You don't like that seasoned food, huh? That's right. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. We'll be praying for you all to have revival over there. Amen. A mighty move of God. If our ushers would come at this time and let us prepare to give unto the Lord as He has so wonderfully given to all of us. And as I said this morning, just reminding us that the Lord mingles His portion in with ours. And so we must be good stewards. We must be people of integrity. And we must reflect the faith that says, I know you have mingled your portion in with mine. And I know that you are expecting me to be a faithful steward. So I'm going to deliver the gift into the storehouse. Lord, you can trust me to bring the gift into the storehouse. So let us be men and women of integrity in the eyes of the Lord tonight. And let's give unto the Lord of our tithes and our offerings. And then a freedom will be able to develop in your walk with God. And the Lord will be able to reciprocate with many blessings and various things into your life. And so we want to be able to walk in a freedom with the Lord. And this is one of the ways we free up the miracle signs and wonders to happen in our life, is by being obedient to Scripture in every aspect and giving unto the Lord. Paying of tithes or giving of tithes and offerings is a commandment throughout the Word of God. And so let us be faithful tonight to do so. Brother Grimes, would you ask the blessings, please, on this offering? Amen. Give unto the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord, church. Amen. I love what I feel. How about you? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Please remember prayer meeting. Amen. Every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Also, please remember the prayer rooms will continue to be open during the day. If you have an opportunity and you're out and about around Mount Pisgah, please come by. Come in the back way to the ladies' prayer room. The door is open. Amen. Come in and sign the book. Amen. What time you come in and what time you leave. Amen. So we will know kind of who's coming in and out. But it will bless you as well as blessing our church. Amen. Amen. Please remember senior youth Christmas play practice will be this Tuesday night at 7 p.m. in the Family Life Center. Also, Bible quiz practice will be this Thursday night at 6:30 p.m. And also, I love my church signs. Amen. We have placed some extras in the foyer. If you would like one of those, let everybody in your neighborhood know where you go to church. Please pick one of those up. They have now become free. All you got to do is take it home and put it in your yard. I put mine up today. Amen. Please remember our 2020 training seminar on November 4th through the 6th at 7 p.m. nightly with Brother Joseph Floria. Also, November 6th and the 7th, ladies' clothing resale event. If you have any gently used clothing that you would like to donate, please bring those items to the Family Life Center. Also, Christmas candy sales will begin today, and there's a very nice colorful flyer. It says Mount Pisgah 2015 Christmas Confections. It has everything that you need to know on there. Please pick one of those up. They begin today. The orders are due in by November the 22nd. Also, daylight savings times ends next Sunday. So please remember to set your clock back 1 hour before going to bed on Saturday night. Amen? Because we do not want to be late for church. Amen. The Bible says this. It says, charity never faileth. Amen? It says, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, and He is here. Amen. That which is perfect has come to Mount Pisgah tonight. Amen. Amen.
ourselves unto the Lord. Open our hearts and our minds. Let our souls be open to what God wants to do in this building. Let His kingdom come into this place tonight. Into every heart, every mind, every soul, every life. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, have your way in this place tonight. Let your spirit flow freely. Let the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost move greatly. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. What a mighty God we serve. His name is Jesus. At the very mention of that name, I said, at the very mention of that name, when a man or a woman of God mentions the name of Jesus, the enemy suddenly has to just stop. The first thing he wonders is how powerful you believe that name actually is. He's wondering how skilled you are in using that name. He's wondering if you're totally convinced that that name is everything you need. I just wish that we would just worship the Lord in the next moment or so in a fashion that we would convince hell, that we would convince cancer, that we would convince every opposition, that we would convince every strategy of Satan. That we absolutely know, that we know, that we know, that we know that Jesus is the answer for the world today. That Jesus is the name that heals. Jesus is the name that saves. Jesus is the name that delivers. Jesus is the name that restores. Jesus is the answer for you. Oh, could you somebody worship the Lord in a manner that you could let hell know that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know that Jesus is the answer for all of your troubles. Oh, I don't think we're quite there right now. I think we just need to go for a little bit further. Press on a little bit harder. Move in a little bit deeper. Get a little bit louder. Clap a little stronger. Shout hallelujah. Yes, somebody ought to stomp your feet. Somebody ought to shout out loud. Somebody ought to run the aisle. Somebody ought to step out and say, I know that my Redeemer lives, and the power is in His name. In the name of Jesus, I shall dance. In the name of Jesus, I shall rejoice. In the name of Jesus, I shall declare my victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Is there any apostolics in the building tonight? Hallelujah.
Can you feel me now? Perhaps if you do not, offer me your heart? Do you offer me your mind? Do you offer me your life? What do you offer me today? For I gave you mine so that we could be together.
In the name of Jesus. Why don't we take a moment to remember the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Would you remember Him right now? Be mindful of what He desires to accomplish right now. Can you remember when you were lost in sin and Jesus came by and took you in? Can you remember when you were sick in your body, troubles and trials, but the prayer of faith turned things around? Can you remember when your back was against the wall? There was no hope. There was no answer. But suddenly Jesus made a way where there was no way. Can you remember when? It's a little bit quiet in here right now. Somebody needs to stir up that gift. Somebody needs to stir up that memory. Somebody needs to stir up yourself in the Spirit of the Lord right now. Oh, mighty God. Oh, mighty God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, can we give the Lord a wave offering in this place right now? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Everything hindering your worship tonight, I bind that in Jesus' name. Everything hindering the move of God in this sanctuary, I bind that in Jesus' name. I take those things and I cast them down in the name of Jesus. And I loose faith in this place right now. I loose apostolic praise in this place right now. I loose apostolic Holy Ghost worship into this building right now. I loose divine anointing that will destroy every yoke in this place that is on your mind, that is on your heart and on your soul. I loose freedom in the supernatural dimension right now to come upon you, to come upon you. Oh, somebody reach up and get a hold of that right now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We had an awesome time in the Lord this morning. And there's no reason to think that the Lord would want any less tonight. Amen, amen, amen. Who's willing to put your heart in it? Who's willing to put your praise into it? Who's willing to put your worship into it? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Brother Jared Williams is about to come to the pulpit. And this is a great couple. God is using them mightily. I am thankful to have them here at this church, Mount Pisgah United Pentecostal Church, tonight. It's an honor to have them. Without any further ado, would you please welcome Brother Jared Williams to this pulpit, please?
Amen. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord across the house tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody ought to give Him praise in the house today. God, we've come to worship You tonight. We've come to magnify You. God, we've come to exalt You today. We need You in this house tonight, for You alone are worthy. Hallelujah. Why don't you turn around and shake hands with someone and tell them, I feel like having church on Sunday night. Amen. Amen. If you are a guest, we welcome you to the house of the Lord. And thank you for turning out and being at First Church, Mount Pisgah. And I thank you to the church body for allowing me and my wife the privilege of being here. And to Pastor and Sister Causey, thank them for the invitation. Now, Pastor Causey, I don't know how long he evangelized, but I do know he evangelized for a good many years. And most likely evangelizing, there are probably some calls from some pastors that he got that he was just not real excited about. And we won't make him reminisce, and we won't ask him who was the pastor and who was the church. But on the other hand, there was those pastors that would call that you always had good church, you always had a good time, good fellowship, and you just had an excitement about getting to go to that church and preach for that wonderful assembly. Well, Mount Pisgah is the one for me. When I got the call from Brother Lee to come be in service, I didn't hang my head in sorrow, but I got real excited. Amen. Do you love the word of the Lord tonight? Amen. Amen. We finished off this morning with Exodus, the 14th chapter, and we're going to view this again. I felt the Lord kind of quicken within my spirit this afternoon, and so we're just going to kind of pick up from where we left off this morning and continue down this vein, Exodus, the 14th chapter, and we'll begin reading with verse 13. Give honor to all the ministry that is here. Give honor to Brother Lee. Thank him for the invitation of being here. I value his friendship. I did tell this youth department, I believe it was Friday night, I made the statement, and I do believe this with all my heart. I had, in my young teenage years, I had about four, went about four youth pastors through my teenage years that I remember, and I remember one who had more of an impact on my life than any other. And I can honestly say that if I had to relive these teenage years, and I thank God that I don't have to, but if I had to go back to a young teenager, I think that I would want Brother Lee to be my youth pastor. Amen. He has a burden and a passion for these young people. And the passion and burden that he has picked up in a prayer room, he has tried to birth into a generation. And I do believe it is a result tonight with all of the singing, with all of the worship, with all of the prayer, with all of the praise. It's evident that you've got a pastor that's doing something right, and you've got a youth pastor that's doing something right. And so you might as well go ahead and have revival regardless to what hell says about it. Amen. Exodus, the 14th chapter, begin reading with verse 13. The Bible says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward, but lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. Children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." Now, if we move very quickly to the following chapter in verse 20, the Bible says, "And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances." The Bible says, "And Miriam answered them, Sing ye to the Lord. For he hath triumphed gloriously, and the horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." In the midst of destruction of Egypt, she got a timbrel in her hand, and she started dancing. Amen. Why don't you lay down your Bibles, extend your hands to heaven all across the house, and let's ask the Lord to have his perfect way. Could we? Father, we love you today. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have in being able to freely enter this house today. God, we thank you that we have the freedom to enter and simply lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. God, we thank you for the freedom that we can call upon your name. God, that there are no physical attacks, but God, they may be mental, they may be coming against our spirits, but God, we have the power to put those under our feet, and we do that tonight. We take authority of any hindrance that would attempt to stop your word, any hindrance that would attempt to stop the moving of your spirit tonight. We've come to magnify you. We've come to glorify you. We've come to give you great praise, for you alone are worthy. We thank you for it. Come on, clap your hands unto the Lord. Open up your mouth and shout aloud. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Before you're seated, turn around and look at somebody and tell them, pardon me if I help him preach for just a little while. God bless you. You can be seated. I hope that my wife and myself in being here, I cannot say enough of the hospitality and the thank yous and all that. It has been absolutely fantastic. I pray in some way that we have been a blessing to this church body and will be a blessing tonight. I do not take an opportunity to preach lightly. I go with the intention of letting God have his way, but more than that, I want to see chains broken. I want to see lives changed. Because if we just come together and have church, guess what? We're doing what everybody else does. But when there's a change in the atmosphere, and there's a change in the house, and there's a change in someone's life, they're not having that in every other assembly. Amen. Roads are built to allow us to go from point A to point B, to deliver us from one place and bring us to another. Interstate 90 is 3,099 miles. It starts in Seattle, Washington, and ends in Boston, Massachusetts. Interstate 80 is 2,900 miles. It starts in San Francisco, California, and ends in Tanook, New Jersey. Interstate 40 is 2,555 miles. It starts in Barstow, California, and ends in Wilmingham, North Carolina. Interstate 10 is 2,460 miles. It starts in Santa Monica, California, and ends in Jacksonville, Florida. Interstate 70 is 2,153 miles. It starts in Cold Fort, Utah, and ends in Baltimore, Maryland. I say again that roads are vital to our society today. If you plan to leave your house and get anywhere and go anywhere, visit anybody, go to Walmart, whatever the case is, you must leave your house, and guess what? You are going to get on a road. You can hit the field and you can say, I'm going to walk through the field and just find my own way to Walmart. But guess what? In the corner of your eye, you're always keeping an eye on that road. You may not physically be on the road at that time, but you trying to keep a landmark. And in your mind, you're trying to keep that in the corner of your eye, because you know that that road leads to your destination. I've even heard that some roads are being used in comical jokes. I've heard one story that said, why did the Roman chicken cross the road? She was afraid they would seize her. Why did the chicken cross the road? To prove to the possum it could actually be done. Why did the cow cross the road? To get to the other side. Why did the horse cross the road? To reach his neighborhood. Why did the chicken stop crossing the road? It got tired of everyone making so many jokes. Even when you began to view our town and our society, most of you did not come across the potential highway, or rather the field of choice, but you came by the road of choice. I do believe that in our beginning text today, how that the Bible emphasizes to us a very important factor. We see that they are delivered out of Egypt. They are delivered from the hand of the taskmaster's whip. They are delivered from the bondage of yesterday. They are delivered from being in persecution. And they find themselves aligned against the sea. And the Bible says that great fear came upon them. They recognize that destruction is at hand. They recognize that if God does not show up in some possible way, and it's going to have to be awful quick, if he chooses not to show up, we are going to be completely destroyed. But when you flip the coin over, you start seeing them be delivered, and Pharaoh's army being destroyed in the Red Sea, and you find that Miriam grabs a timbrel in her hand, and she starts dancing and praising God and worshiping him for what he has done. Can I tell someone here today, I do not believe for a moment that they danced on the right side of the road. I believe that they danced on the wrong side of the road. With the help of the Holy Ghost, I would like to preach to you from this simple thought, dancing on the wrong side of the road. My question for you tonight is, if they would have started dancing when everything was chaotic, if they would have started praising when Pharaoh's armies were come upon them, how much quicker could the waters have parted? How much quicker could they have been delivered? But they waited for a man to stand up with a rod and proclaim that God has got it under control, when they should have already known that God has already brought you out of Egypt. He's already delivered you. He's already brought you from the taskmaster's whip. though the devil may be behind you and he may be coming very quickly, if God has brought you out of your dilemma, he's not going to send you back in to the same dilemma. Don't be foolish enough to dance on that side of the breakthrough. You dance on this side when it looks impossible, it looks hopeless. That's when you need to dance. Now, I have seen people. Now, if I'm lying, I'm dying. I've seen people the Lord has spoke to and said, he's going to heal your body, something along that line, so on and so forth. They pile out in that aisle, and they'd start dancing and shouting and giving God everything they had. And they didn't care who saw them. They didn't care who was impressed by them. They didn't care how their hair was hanging or how it was on the top of their head. They didn't care. If it was a man, didn't care how his tie was, how his jacket was. He was so desperate for God in that moment. He was giving God praise for what he said he was going to do. But please note, I have seen some while speaking to this individual. They would start responding, but on the opposite end of the church, there would be somebody who didn't get that word. But what they did is they received the word that was spoken to somebody else, and they hit the aisle, and they started responding. You could say that word's not for them. Yes, it is, because they claimed it by faith, and they responded like God was going to do it, and God did it every time. Come on, clap your hands unto the Lord. If we wait until God pats us on the back and says your miracle is coming within 2 weeks at this and such time, guess what? We're going to miss a lot of miracles, because some miracles come not by the heard word, but by the faith that says, I'm going to respond when there is no word of encouragement. I'm going to respond when all of hell has got me in captivity. Come on, Paul and Silas. I'm going to sing in my midnight hour. I may have the bruises on my back. I may have been through hell, but I still got a song. I've still got a praise. I've still got a hallelujah in my spirit. Come on, clap your hands unto the Lord. Somebody's been dancing on the wrong side of the road. Turn around and look at somebody and say, have you been dancing on the wrong side of the road? Hebrews 11 chapter verse 29 says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. I don't really in reality believe that most of them had faith at that moment to see the waters part. I in reality don't even believe they believed they were going to live, because some turned and said, hey, were there not enough graves in Egypt? Could we have not stayed there and died, that you would bring us to this point to die by the hand of the taskmaster, to allow his sword to meet us and destroy us in this very place and in this very existence? I don't believe most of them had faith, but I believe some of them did. And in the midst of that, guess what? Instead of what we have, as we know the story, Moses stands up, takes his rod, stretches it out, the waters part. What would have happened if somebody in the crowd would have said, hey, let's not wait on that. Let's start praising God right now. I know it looks hopeless, but can I remind you, my God, it shouldn't always have to be the pastor that reminds us of where we've been. Sometimes it's got to be the audience. Sometimes it's got to be that brother, that sister that'll pat somebody else on the back and say, can I just remind you? Don't wait till pastor calls. He tells you that God has done for you. Just remember where you were way back then, and it was God that brought you through. Do you think God's going to let you be destroyed here? He's done so much for me. I just can't tell you. But what I can do is praise him. What I can do is worship him. What I can do is start dancing on the right side of the road. To our common thinking, to our common knowledge, let's be realistic. Dancing in the midst of a dilemma is not the right side to our common mind. But to the angels in heaven, they like it. To God himself, he likes it when you start praising God when you ain't got a reason to praise God. When it seems like you are struggling out your next breath, but with every breath that struggles out of your being, you're saying hallelujah. You're saying I love you, Jesus. I'm going to trust in you, Lord. You've brought me to this point not to let me go down by the taskmaster's whip or sword. You brought me to this point to show me the miraculous. And if I have to sit and wait for somebody to stand up and make that way possible, I could miss my miracle and I could be destroyed. But if I can muster up faith and I can start dancing in the midst of the storm, if I can start praising in the heart of the battle, if I can start praising God, I can experience my miracle. Why do you think it is? He said where two or three are in the midst, that's where you're going to find God. It's not always because you got 100% participation in a church service. I wish every apostolic church across this nation had 100% participation. But in reality, it's not so. And as the years progress, it seems like it is getting less participation, because we have reasons of why we shouldn't praise. We're going through so much stuff, we can't really get our minds in focus with the service. We can't really pull it into God. Why should I praise God? Why should I worship God? I'm going through something. Well, if you're going through something, that's when you really, really, really need to be praising God. And you watch him bring you out. And if you think you can praise him while you're going through, you catch a second wind. When you start being delivered, you start investing in a praise that you didn't even know you could do. You start looking crazy. You start looking foolish. But honey, it's time to start dancing back on the right side of the road. Come on, let's clap our hands unto the Lord. Somebody open up your mouth and shout aloud. With a voice of triumph, somebody shout his name. I have never seen anybody that's received a word from God that God's going to do this. He's going to financially bless you. I have never heard, honestly, of someone who got a word like that and look at that preacher with their hands crossed and say, I don't believe it. I ain't never seen any of those folks get it. Why? Because they don't have faith to receive it. But when your faith starts activating with the word of God, and you start saying, God, I believe it. I believe it can happen to me. I believe I can be delivered out of this dilemma. I know I'm in captivity. I know I'm surrounded by a lot of adversaries. But if I wait to the other side to start praising you, I may never make it to the other side. But if I can start connecting with your spirit right now, and I can start connecting with your word right now, God, what could you possibly do in the midst of this? Somebody ought to ask Silas and Paul when they started praising. You ask them what happened. They had pain in their body. They were ready to give up, but they sang anyhow, and God shook them free. If they had not sung, if they had not praised, if they had not worshiped, they would have died in a prison cell, I do believe. But God, through his mercy, once that they opened their mouth, now this is just me, okay? This is what I believe happened. When they started going into their captivity, once that they had the stripes on their back, they are taken to the most secure place in that prison. They are placed in stocks, bonds. They are bound. They cannot physically worship. I believe, this is just me, if your pastor preaches it a different way, I'm wrong. I believe that the moment they stepped foot into that prison, I mean the first footstep, God dispatched angels at all four corners of that prison. He said, I want you at the foundation. I want you in every four corner. I want you to get ready, because I got faith that these boys are going to connect with me. And the moment that they connect with me, I want you to get to work. And they said it. I don't know how long. The Bible doesn't say what time they got there. The Bible doesn't give us a whole lot of detail. It could have been 11 o'clock. But in reality, I personally believe it was somewhere around the setting of the sun that they go down. So you find them, if that be true, we find them going in around 6 to 7 o'clock in the evening. And we have all that time period from the setting of the sun all the way up to midnight. Those angels are standing at those four corners simply waiting. And Paul and Silas, some have said, well, if that be true, what were they doing in that time frame? I tell you what they were doing. Most likely they were fussing. Most likely they were complaining. Most likely they were hanging their head in the gutter. But somewhere around midnight, they started being encouraged. Not because the presence of God found them, but because they started looking for the presence of God. There's a difference there, because if you wait for the presence of God to find you, you could be waiting a long time. But if you'll make up your mind, I'm going to go find the presence of God in my jail cell. And they started singing. They started praying. Now, your Bible says they prayed and they sang praises. It was not simply enough to pray. You got to praise after that you get done making your need known. Once that you connect with heaven, it's not enough just to connect with heaven. You connect with heaven and then you start acting like heaven has come to earth to meet you. What they did is they started putting their feelers out in prayer. And suddenly they started. I just believe they felt the Holy Ghost starting moving into that place. And as the Holy Ghost started touching them, maybe Paul looked over at Silas and he said, "Hey, why don't we try singing right now? I'm starting to feel the Holy Ghost move down in this jail cell. Let's sing an old hymn." And as they started singing, the Bible says that the prisoners heard them. And what does your Bible say? It says immediately, I believe the moment they got the first few words of that song out of their mouth, God snapped his fingers and he said, "Angels, go to work." And there was one on one corner that shook. There was another one on the other corner that shook. And all four corners shook. And everybody was free. He doesn't say just Paul and Silas. It says everybody was loosed. Every door was open. But before everybody's door can be opened, before everybody's chain can fall off, somebody's got to start dancing on the right side of the road. Come on, let's give praise unto the Lord across the house tonight. Come on, somebody, open up your mouth. Shout aloud with a voice of triumph. Turn around, look at somebody, tell them, "I'm going to start dancing on the right side of the road." The Bible says in Joshua, the 6th chapter, verse 10, and Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "Ye shall not shout." Please note, they're getting ready to walk to the walls of Jericho. They're getting ready to spend 7 days walking these walls. And this is what Joshua has to say. Please note. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day that I bid you to shout. Then shall ye shout." What they had to do was spend 7 days walking in complete silence. I don't want you making a sound, because I, in reality, want you to go around. It's going to take faith to even see the miraculous. If we're going to experience the power of God, if we're going to see his working power, if we're going to have victory, it's going to come because you plugged your faith up to the presence of God. But we ain't got time for negativity. We ain't got time for doubt. So while you're walking this thing, I don't want you to say one single word. Why wouldn't he want them to say one single word? I can tell you why he didn't want them to say one single word. Because he came out with the authority of Moses. He came out with that leadership. And he saw what the people had put in him. He saw the pressures. He saw the times that the people were complaining. And said, "I'd rather be back in Egypt. I'd rather be back in bondage. I'd rather be bound once again. You brought us out here to die." He's trying to do a work. He's got his rod up. He's trying to get the waters to part. And there's a group behind him that's saying, "You should have left us in Egypt. You should have let us be bound." So when Joshua took the reins, he looked at the people and he said, "You don't say a word until I tell you to say it." Can I tell you, in 2015, we ain't got time to complain. We ain't got time to fuss. We only got time to praise. We only time to get right. Come on, you ain't going to do what you did to Moses. We're going to have victory and we're going to do it right. And they walked 7. Right, now, the Bible really doesn't give us a lot of explanation. It could be that Joshua knew how people were. And on day 2, walking the walls, before they started walking, he possibly could have gathered them together again and said, "Pass the word. If it's okay to say this, pass the word. Everybody shut up.
We just gonna walk. And they walked those walls. They did it for 7 days. Upon the seventh day they did it, the Bible says, seven times. Now Joshua had commanded the people that when you hear the sound of the trumpet, there's going to be a burst of sound that's coming out of leadership. The men of God have trumpets, and they're going to blow these things. And the moment that you hear this, I want you to open your mouth, and I want you to shout. You ain't got time to ask why I got to do this. You ain't got time to say I don't really feel like it. You ain't got time to say I'll let somebody else do it. The only thing you can do is open up your mouth and shout. I do believe in 2015, if we're not careful, we'll lose this. So why? Because we come to the house of God and we run and we leap and we dance and we do all of this, but we forget the most important thing. It was the shout. It was not their running. It was not their dancing that brought that wall down. It was their shouting. It was their voice. Because the most powerful weapon you have in praise is still your voice. Come on, somebody. It's still your voice. You can tell that devil to pack his bags and go back to where it came from with your voice. Now, he don't want to stay with your praise, but you can't command him in your praise to do that. But what you can do is command him with your tongue, with your mouth, to get back from where you came from. Now, I find this quite interesting. As a child, I would hear preachers, evangelists, my bishop preached from this. And Pastor Causey, I always saw it this way. When those walls, they were there, they walked on the seventh time, and they had done all of this. They stopped, they hear the sound of the trumpet. And I saw them, you know, opening their mouth as a child. I can envision this, see them opening their mouth and screaming and shouting, hallelujah, thank you, God, oh, so on and so forth. All these type things and giving God praise. And I could see these walls crumbling. I mean, like a piece of cake, and you take it and you just rubble it in your hand, it just crumbles all over the kid. That's how I saw it as a child. And then I grew up and I read it. You don't say it crumbled. The Bible says it fell down flat. Can I tell you why I believe God did that? Because I believe that God was trying to emphasize to a generation that if you can shout, when it don't seem like you got a reason to shout, I'll give you something to dance on top of that you don't even believe while you're shouting that you're going to be able to dance on top of. I'll give you a reason to praise, my God. The moment they open their mouth and just let a hallelujah come out of their spirit and out of their life, that wall fell down flat. And I don't believe you had to beg anybody to praise. I believe they got up with their sword in the hand and they started dancing. They started having victory. And God allowed them to have success. But they had to do it on the right side of the road. They had to do it on the right side of the road. Come on, somebody, give him praise in the house tonight. Come on, somebody, really give him praise in the house tonight. Hallelujah. Everybody shout, praise the Lord. Let me move just a little bit further if that's okay. The Bible says, 1 Samuel 30, chapter verse 6, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. What happens here? As they come back to their home, terra firma, they had been in battle. And they recognized that the adversary, my God, I just felt a check in my spirit. The Bible says here that they had come back to camp. The adversary had stolen their wives, their children, everything that they possessed. They came back most likely to a burning town. Can I tell somebody in the Holy Ghost tonight that it seems like hell walked into your house and it took everything of value? And it's easy to get discouraged. And well, you probably should for a time. But don't live there. Don't stay there. The Bible says that David was greatly distressed. Why? Because all his faithful men rose up and they started speaking of stoning him because the soul of the people were grieved. Every man for his sons and for his daughters. Please note with me, everyone is at a point of going completely crazy. Everyone is at a point of giving up. But can I tell you, it's still not fast. found with pointing your finger in the face of authority. It's still not found. Victory won't come that way by rising up and sticking your finger in the face of the pastor or leadership and say, this is your fault. You sent me down this path when I really didn't want to go. It didn't work for the children of Israel, and it ain't going to work in 2015. It didn't happen back then, and it's not going to happen now. But your Bible says, but David, all by himself, encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Please note with me, he did not get on his face and say, God, give me direction. You don't read it. You move on down, you see that he does. But before he could ask direction, he first had to get his spirit back in condition. He first had to get his faith up. Guess what? We come into the house of God and we flop down on a pew and we're discouraged. We're ready to throw in the towel, and God knows what we need. And I've seen these ones, they about want to just lay down on the altar and cry out and say, oh God, just give me what I need. Can I tell you, that's not what David did. Before he asked God for anything, he recognized, I got to encourage myself in God, because if God's going to do anything, it's going to happen because I believe that he can. And when you're down, you can't believe that it can. When your faith is low, you don't see God working it out. But when you start reminiscing over what God did yesterday, and you start reminiscing of where he's brought you from, there's a connection, there's an encouragement, there's a strength that touches your body. David encouraged, the Bible says, encouraged himself in the Lord. Next verse. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. Guess what? He does something that is a little bit different. He says, bring me what in reality is not mine. Bring me the garment of a man of God. He gets as close, if ever anybody wanted to be in the pastoral leadership, it was old King David. And though some have referenced him even as a prophet, he had the heart of a pastor, even though he wasn't one. He wanted to get as close as he could to the leadership, to the presence of God. And he could not physically enter to the presence of God. So what he did is did the next best thing. He said, bring me the ephod. And he put it on himself. And once that he put on the cloak of a man of God, the Bible says, and David encouraged or inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after the troop? Shall I overtake him? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Please note, if he had not encouraged himself, if he had not girded himself with praise, if he had not girded himself with a little bit of anointing, if he had not girded himself with a little bit of the presence of God, of leadership, he probably wouldn't have got the answer. He wouldn't have had the strength. But somewhere in the midst of his spirit, somewhere in the midst of his heart, he encouraged himself, and with boldness he went to God and he said, can I do this? And God said, go back and get it. It's already yours. Everything that was taken is already yours. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. I usually don't preach two sermons. I'm feeling it now. And I'm young. Well, it depends on who you're asking, I guess. Brother Sound Man, come help me, if you would. How old are you, if that's okay to ask?
35.
Had a lot of stuff taken away from you in 35 years of existence. It had not been taken away from you. Y'all don't get quiet on me. From this point until the day you drop in your shoes, you're going to start recovering things that hell has stolen. Not only are you going to recover what was yours to begin with. But you're going to get a lot of stuff that wasn't yours to start with. Lay your hand on my shoulder. Would you do that? I want you to walk with me. Just put one hand on me. Just walk with me. Just like it. Hang on to my shoulder. We're going to walk one time. Now stay with me. Don't let go of my shoulder. We're going to walk one time around this sanctuary. And then when we get back at this front, you're going to let loose of me when we step back up on this front. And when we step on this front, complete victory is going to come to your heart, your mind, your spirit, your soul. My God, I just felt my helper start walking in this house today. Come on, church family. Somebody ought to help me right now. Come on, brother. Stay with me. In the name of Jesus. Come on, brother. Let your faith rise within you right now. Come on, somebody else in the church ought to let your faith rise right now. Somebody, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, when this brother lets go of me, complete victory is going to take place in Jesus' name right now. In the name of Jesus, somebody ought to give him praise. Somebody ought to give him worship. Come on, somebody lift him up. The devil don't like it, but that's okay. I'm going to get back what hell has stolen. It's still got my name on it. It's still got my answer. It's still in the midst of my blessing. You're not stealing my blessing. You're not keeping my blessing. I'm going to get back what hell has stolen. Clap your hands unto the Lord, all ye people. There are three young people in this house today. I don't know who you are. The Lord did not tell me. There's three young people in this house today. You may have one parent that's in. I'm confused by this. You may have one parent that's in. You may have one parent that's out. There are three young people in this house today. The Lord has impressed upon my spirit. If you'll keep living right, if you'll keep dedicating yourself to him in a very short time. He said a very short time. How long of a time? I have no idea. He said short time. Within a very short time, you will see your parent or parents come to the house of God and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Some will be rebaptized, not because it's scriptural, but because they feel like they need to be rebaptized. My God. Lift your hands to the Lord all across his house right now. Somebody open up your mouth and talk to him. In the name of Jesus, God, we worship you tonight. We exalt you. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your spirit that's in this house. We thank you, Lord, for your presence that is here right now. Everybody shout in Jesus' name. Everybody shout in Jesus' name. My dear brother, the Lord impressed on my spirit. He did not say 10. He said tens. That could be 20. That could be 30. It's going to start with 10 that will trickle in very quickly. I'm not talking about 2-1 service, 4 the next, 6 the next. He said it's going to start not in 10, but in tens. That could possibly mean maybe 10 the first time, and then maybe it'll be 20, 2 tens the next time. But brother, he said it will come in tens. There's a man in the city. I don't know the man. I see he's a very well-known man. You have a communication with him. You have a connection with him. You talk to him occasionally. Almost like you talk to him once a week, maybe. And as you converse with him, you're really trying to impress him. You don't feel like you're getting much with him. You're not really impressing him. You're really not. It's not happening. You seem like you're not connecting. You are connecting more than you think you are connecting with him. Very shortly, he will come into your church. He will feel the presence of God. It will not be an instant thing that he runs to the altar and gets the Holy Ghost. It won't happen that quick. He'll come for a time. He will come and sit on your pew. You'll see tears coming down his face, and there's going to be a moment you're going to think he's going to get the Holy Ghost tonight. It's not going to happen the first time he's there. He's going to leave and be gone for a couple weeks, but when he comes back the second time, he's going to ask for you to teach him a Bible study. And while you're teaching him a Bible study, he will not get the Holy Ghost in a church service. He will get the Holy Ghost in a Bible study. study. He will see truth. The word of God will be revealed to him. His eyes will be opened. He will recognize his need for God. And when he comes and is filled with the Holy Ghost in that Bible study, the next service you will baptize him. After that you baptize him, the next service after that, he will have two men throughout the city that are very well known, very popular men, very high power men will come and feel the presence of God. And from that point on, you will start seeing a breaking not only in your community, but throughout the city, and you will see an unprecedented revival be birthed into your church. Now, I don't know your building. I've never been there. Sorry, you don't know me. I don't know you, but I know what the Holy Ghost says. Once that you have reached that man, you see him filled with the glorious gift of the Holy Ghost in a Bible study. From that time, you start making plans to occupy and rent or buy a new facility very quickly. Because the time you reach him, it will start growing so quick, you're not going to know what to do. Where do we go? You got Sunday school teachers coming to you and they're saying, we got too many kids for the class. Pastor, what do we need to do? The Holy Ghost is on you. There's a strong anointing of the presence of God that is with you. You humble yourself in your house every day. You lay before God. You call upon him. And you will find an anointing that you have not even begun to tap into that will hit you when you walk to your pulpit. You will walk with boldness. You will walk with clarity. And revival will be birthed out. The devil doesn't like it. There's an adversary trying to stop it. But God is going to give you complete victory in that community, in that city. Revival will come.
In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it.
Come on, somebody ought to praise with him in this house today. Somebody ought to worship with him in this house today. I told you I'm getting tired. I hope y'all not getting tired. I'm hurrying. Is this okay? I hope this is okay. Sister Lee, there you is. She wasn't in here this morning. She was preaching. I saw this morning literally about that big a hand. A lot of cash. The Lord said it's $1,000. I said, okay. He said, you tell her $1,000 is coming for that need. I don't know what need. He didn't tell me. He said, $1,000 is coming for that need. He said, there's a voice that is trying to tell you, you cannot. You cannot. You cannot. And it is haunting you. It is terrifying you. I see what has the appearance of complete, it is literally black. It is like a heavy spirit that comes and it hovers over you. Sister, from this night forward, that darkness, that black, that pitch of depression that is trying to speak into your spirit, my God, I feel a hindrance. That thing that's trying to stop, it will leave this house tonight. It will not follow you home. And the devil says, you can't, you can't, you can't. But God said, you can, you can, you can. You're anointed of God. The devil doesn't like it, but you're anointed of God. You've got more power in your praise. You've got more power in your praise than hell wants you to believe. He wants you to think you can't because there's so much power in your praise. But when you start activating your praise, revival will be birthed in this year. My God, revival will... I get real nervous when it starts getting this detailed. Why? Not that I don't believe that God can't, but there's always somebody that said, yeah, I've heard that before, and it didn't happen last time it said. But I'm going to tell you what I feel in the Holy Ghost. And I'm smart enough, been doing this long enough, and wise enough to tell you it's not my emotion, but it's the Holy Ghost. Brother Lee, I don't know the time frame. I don't know if it's a week from now. I don't know if it's a year from now. It may be 6 years from now, for all I know. The Lord did not give me a time frame. But he said, you pray for 75 young people in your youth group. And he said that you will obtain 75 young people in your youth group. I see youth pastors calling saying, what you doing, Brother Lee? How you getting this many young people? It's not me. It's my young people going into their schools and they're reaching. It's with the Holy Ghost moving into our youth services. We're seeing 3, 4, 5, 10, 15 receive the Holy Ghost in one single youth service. Yeah. I feel my helper in the house, but I feel a hindrance in the house. I feel a devil walk in that don't like what's happening, but I really don't care what the devil likes. I'm more influenced by God than I am the devil. He has no power in this house. He has should have no voice in this house. He should have no authority in this house. He can't stop what happens in this house. And he's not going to stop what happens on the outside of this house. Because we're filled with the Holy Ghost. We received a power that he wishes he had. We received a power that he wishes he could possess. But he don't have it. He ain't never going to have it. He ain't getting mine. And he better not get yours. Sister Causey, Brother Causey, come help me if you would, sir. Sister Causey, I saw this morning, I was standing in this service, I saw you praying and worshiping God. And I saw you, it's not physical, it was spiritual. I saw you step, it was almost like you looked down. This is what I saw this morning when you were praying over there for a sister. I saw you look down and it looked like a puddle. I mean, just like one you could step across and you could go right around. It almost looked like a mud puddle. And I saw this. I said, Lord, what is this? He said, watch. I started watching in the spirit. And Sister Causey, I saw you step into that puddle. And it looked very small. I mean, it looked like it wasn't hardly enough to get your feet wet. And as you just kind of started very slowly, little small footsteps, you started stepping into this puddle. And as I watched you do this, this puddle started expanding. And it started growing. I said, God, what is this? He said, watch. And it turned into the size of a, looked like a pond is what I was seeing. And I saw you just kind of wading out in it. And the water just kept getting higher and higher and higher. And I watched this pond as it began to literally, I saw what appeared to be a sea. You couldn't see from one end of it to the other. And you were standing dead center of it. I said, God, all right, what is this? He said, this is joy that she has been praying for. He said, you tell her it is not a small puddle of joy. He said, you tell her that it is not a pond of joy. He said, you tell her it is a sea of joy that you're getting ready to step in. Sister, I see years that it seems like your joy has been sucked out of you, and with the help of the Holy Ghost from this night forward, you will start stepping. You will start stepping into this puddle of joy that will very quickly turn into a pond that will very quickly turn that will turn into a sea of joy. Let it be birthed. Let it be birthed. Let it be birthed in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody give him praise. Come on, somebody give him praise. Yeah. Lift your hands to the Lord all across his house right now. Open up your mouth. Talk to him. Talk to him. Talk to him. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house right now. I know this is a youth revival, but we're about to do something a little bit different tonight. Now, I've had this happen to me 3 times. to my remembrance. First time was in my youth service. No, two times. Forgive me. Two times this has happened to me. First time we were in a youth revival. I had one of my friends from Texas there preaching it. We had it set up in our fellowship hall. I walked to our pulpit. Our young people were praising and worshiping God. The Lord spoke to me. He said, there is an angel to the right of your pulpit. I said, okay, God, I don't see him. He said, he's there. I said, okay. I said, God, why is he here? He said, he's here to view your praise and your worship. And I looked, still didn't see him. I told our young people, I said, I can't see him. I said, but the Lord has impressed on my spirit, there's an angel to the right of our pulpit. And he has come to see our praise and our worship. So I said, I think that we ought to give him some to see. And guess what? I didn't have to beg him to praise. When you tell me there's an angel in the house and he's come to see me praise, you better know I'm going to dig up a praise. It really don't matter how I feel about it. There's going to be a praise birthed out of me. That's happened two times to me. Last time it happened, there was a third time that it happened, but it wasn't in the same analogy. He did not tell me there was an angel to the right of the pulpit. He simply told me there's an angel that's walking around the altar. This was in our local assembly. I said, okay, God, what's he here for? The Lord didn't answer me. I said, okay, God, let me see him. He said, do you have to see him to know that he's there? I said, no, God. He said, watch. And I was standing. I moved back. I was in our altar service. I went back and I stood on the platform. And we had a row of people that were praying and worshiping God. And I did not see this angel, but I saw the effect of this angel. I saw him start moving. And it was literally like I could see him, but I couldn't see him. I could see where he started. And every person he walked by, you would see him jerk under the impression of the Holy Ghost. And it moved all the way, I mean, just in one after the other. I said, God, what's he doing? He said, he's healing. This is what I felt impressed on my spirit tonight. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. There is not one angel. I've never had this experience before. There's not one in this house. There are two. There are two angels in this house today. My God. Hey, Matalabusha. Ah, come on, day. There are two angels in this house right now, and this is what's going to happen in the Holy Ghost. There are going to be some of you that in just a moment start praising, worshiping God with everything you got. We got elders that can't physically do what they used to could have done. That's okay. If you just give it all you got, I believe the Lord's going to honor it. Because some of our elders that can simply only raise their hands got more power than some young person that's dancing in an altar, because they got more experience and they got more dedication and they got more faithfulness. This is what's going to happen tonight. In just a moment, we're going to start praising and worshiping God. And as we do so, these angels are going to start walking in the midst of us. And as the angels start walking in the midst of us, there's going to be some of us that the angel is simply going to touch as he passes by. And what's going to happen is, his virtue, healing, is going to be dispatched from that angel and into your body. By God, I feel the Holy Atabosh. You've been praying for revival. You've been praying for a supernatural move. You've been praying for the miraculous. I believe tonight is going to jump start you somewhere you in. Hit that altar with everything you got. Start praising. Start worshiping. Start dancing. Let that angel touch you. Come on, close your eyes. Go ahead and dance. Go ahead and shout. Go ahead and rejoice. And let that angel touch you. Come on, let him do it. It looks foolish, Brother William. sometimes. Yes, it does. But there's angels in the house. It looks crazy. Yes, it does. But there's angels in the house.
Power in His name. We got a right to pray.
See him moving. Come on, I see him on top of him. I see him moving. Come on, I see him moving. Let him walk in front of you. Give it all you got.
Supernatural.
Act like it's just touched you. Supernatural. Act like it's already done. Act like it's already finished. Act like you're already delivered. Act like you're already healed.
Listen to me. Listen to me for just a moment. I'm going to encourage our faith and I'm going to quit. Sister in the red. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It's like he's went around you twice. That's what I see. And it's almost like he's pointing at the mind. He's pointing at the mind. Sister, if you'll throw both your hands up and lift your voice, God will touch your mind today. And when you, come on, you're almost there. When you leave this house, you will not deal with that mind battle ever again. Come on, open your mouth. 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 Yes, right there. Itabosha. Itabosha. Come on, somebody. The angels are still walking. Come on, somebody. The angels are still moving. Come on, let's worship. Let's magnify Jesus.
Deliver us in Jesus.
Jesus' name. Well, I thought I was done. I'm almost done. Come here, buddy. Come up here. Would you do that? Come here, buddy. Come here, buddy. Come here, son. Come here, darling. Come here, darling. Come here. Come here. How many of you believe these children got faith? In just a moment, if you've got a need, in just a moment, I want you to raise your hands. And what I'm going to ask is for these children, these future, the next generation, these future young people, I'm going to ask them to lift both their hands in your direction and start praying for you. And as they do, the Holy Ghost is going to fall. I feel it. If you got a need, raise both your hands. Lift your voice. Mouth and shout. Come on, the healer's in the house. Your healing's in the house. Your healing's meeting your need. Your healing's touching your body. Come on, some of you done failed. You ought to thank him for it. Somebody's already failed. You ought to praise him for it. One final step that we're going to take. I feel this in the Holy Ghost. Pastor Causey, if you would, come up here, sir. I would ask that Pastor Causey would pray a prayer of direction for this church and for this church body. And when this great pastor prays this prayer, at the completion of it, the Holy Ghost is going to fall once again. And once that it falls, if you will say, God, not my will, but thine be done. And I will strive toward the direction that you are taking this church. I will not hinder. I will not get in the way of. I will get involved with the direction that you are sending this church body. I will simply become a vessel that you can use. The circumstance that has you bound within 30 days will start completely turning around. If you will focus your heart on this and mean it with everything in your spirit in your life, within 30 days, it will start turning around. Lift your hands unto the Lord as Pastor Causey comes.
Well, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, by the divine authority that you have given us, Lord, in Jesus' name, I bind every device and tactic of hell, every strategy, every spirit of unbelief, every chain that binds and holds. I loose the power of God in Jesus' name to smite every tactic, to break down every yoke and destroy it in Jesus' name. And I loose the anointing of God to permeate every mind and every heart, every soul. I loose faith to come in. I loose faith to come in. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I loose the joy of the Lord to come in and see the salvation of God to work in your children's lives, to work in your home, in your finances, in your walk with God. In Jesus' name, I loose a power in the Holy Ghost to renew you and to restore you, to give you a focus and a desire, a passion to be used of God. I liberate you in Jesus' name to step out of the bog and to step out of the rut and to step out of the chains and to step out of the prison. I liberate you in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out of your stronghold. Come out of your deception. Come out of your darkness. Come out of your oppression. Come out of your sin. Come out of your iniquity. I loose you in Jesus' name. And I plead the blood of Jesus upon your mind, upon your feet, upon your soul, upon your body and your life. In Jesus' name. Oh, somebody somewhere, rise up to the challenge. Somebody somewhere, reach and get a hold to your help tonight. Come out. Come out of your darkness. Come out of your unbelief. Come out of your lackadaisicalness. Come out of that lethargic spirit and attitude. Come out in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord, somebody pick up your faith, pick up your help, pick up every message that God has ever given to you and say, it is mine, it is mine, it is mine, it is mine, it is mine. Every promise that the Lord has given to you, pick it up and say, it is mine, it is mine, it is mine. Every word of the Lord, every line, come on somebody, it is mine, it is mine. In the name of Jesus. 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 Hey Allah, ha naha. Yalo shono la baha. Yes. Halabo shori ala baha nahe. The Lord has not set you up to be a failure. He has not put you in a place to fall, but He has called you into a place to be a champion and to be triumphant over every situation and every circumstance. Oh, somebody somewhere, shake the chains off. Come out of your hole. Come out of that mindset that says you can't, and step into the power of God that says you can. Yehoshata. Come on, church. Intercede. Travail. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, yeah. Oh. Oh, come on, somebody, just get in a little deeper. Come on, step into it. Yeah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, come on, Mount Pisgah, open your heart's door. Come on, it's going to take faith. It's going to take faith to get the door open. Open up to a brand new idea. Open up to a brand new opportunity. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Yes. Open up to brand new possibilities. Oh, lift your voice. Let your tears flow. Let your heart break. Oh, that's it. Go ahead. Intercede. Let your tears flow.
Oh, yeah, yeah.